Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Afternoon, welcome back. It's 12:06 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Hour number two getting underway on this Monday with the arrival of Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Holder seeks legal team for children on border. This story just kept bigger and bigger. I give up. Why is he doing that?
He's doing that to two reasons, I guess. One is that it's an acknowledgement of just the, how big this problem on the border of unaccompanied minors has gotten. It's also, though, a recognition that these children under American law have special considerations and do get special treatment, and he wants to make sure that they are getting that special treatment that American law does give them. And among those are these children are supposed to be screened to make sure they to determine if they were part of smuggling or if they were part of abuse along the way. If either of those is true, that triggers certain, first of all, legal protections for them, and second of all, potentially criminal investigations for the folks who may have been involved in that. And then there are also just some options we've talked about before. We've talked about some of the options for these children. Even though they are probably here illegally, there are options that that they can apply for certain legal statuses and legal visas depending on their conditions. And so essentially we are giving them legal resources. We're giving them lawyers and paralegals through the AmeriCorps program that that will help them get any benefits that they might possibly be entitled to and go ahead and help with the rest of that, the screening for abuse and whatnot that we would probably want to do through the just the basic criminal justice system concerns.
There you go. So it's designed to protect the rights of vulnerable members of society, not necessarily our society, but you know, those who have arrived here perhaps of because they felt like it.
Yeah, no, that's and it's, you know, it's one of these situations where you look at it and you realize that what these kids, and they are kids, are fleeing is awful. You know, when they get here, obviously there's almost always a better life, the possibility of a better life waiting for them here. That both that push from back home and the pull to here are so gigantic that you can see why this is spiking so much in recent months, recent years, and looks like it's going to continue to grow even into next year. Having said all that, you know, the more we do to make sure that these folks can actually apply for status, apply for asylum, the sorts of things that will allow them to stay here, will only reinforce that path of people who are coming. So if we think that the problem is bad right now, the better we treat these kids, it's an awful conundrum. The better we treat these kids, the more likely we're going to have more of them coming. And so at some point, the administration has yet to tackle that sort of side of the policy. Right now, they are still working on how they manage the kids once they're here, you know, trying to treat them well, not have them literally be warehoused, stacked, you know, side by side. We've seen photos of them in some of these DHS facilities where they are standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and the rooms are full. So right now, the administration is focused on trying to get a handle on how to deal with these children when they arrive here. Hopefully, pretty quickly, they will turn their attention also to trying to stop the flow. In fact, we had this memo last week from a deputy Border Patrol chief who warned, look, if we don't do something about creating a deterrent, then we might as well just give up. Either the deterrent is the only thing that's going to stop more of these folks and basically allow us and the Border Patrol to get back to our regular jobs so that we're not managing kids, get back to our regular jobs of fighting against drug traffickers, fighting against weapons smugglers, and going after basic adult illegal immigrants.
Mm. So how many lawyers do we need to handle this?
Well, so they are looking for 100 to recruit 100 lawyers and paralegals for the program at a cost of about $2 million. One thing that's interesting, they aren't full-time, obviously. This is through the AmeriCorps program, so they would be people who are, you know, in some ways volunteering their time, though that word volunteer can be a little misleading because, as I said, there's a cost of $2 million for the program. What I'm not quite sure about, and I'm trying to find out, is there's actually a part of the immigration law that says that no federal funding can be spent on representing people in immigration proceedings, you know, people who are trying to either block a deportation or gain some immigration benefit. And so it'll be probably an open question, but it'll be interesting to see whether that $2 million is actually able able to be spent, whether that's considered being spent on legal representation or whether the government will consider that sort of overhead money for AmeriCorps and the actual specific lawyers and paralegals themselves are not considered money spent, but they're considered volunteers, and the money is a bureaucratic expense.
Mm-hmm. So these lawyers basically will represent an individual or individuals, and their job will be to make sure that these folks get what they're entitled to, if they are entitled to something, and I guess represent them in any kind of talk with the authorities trying to determine their status?
Yeah, in particular, two things. Represent them well. First of all, look, the immigration system is a real mess. It's complex. I tried going through some of the various things. You know, for what it's worth, there weren't a lot of big Supreme Court decisions out of today, but one of them actually did deal with immigration, and it's so complex it'll leave your head spinning. This is a case that was argued back in December, and all the lawyers, the court watchers, kept wondering why it was taking so long for this case to be decided. And today we found out the reason why is because there were 65 pages of opinions released involving so many different concurrences and dissents and dissenting concurrences, and the immigration system's a real, real, real mess. And the Supreme Court today showed how tough it is for the top nine legal minds in the country to sort of grapple with some of the intricacies, and in particular, one very blatant contradiction in the law. Given that, how would anybody expect a 14-year-old child to work their way through some of what's in the law? And so, from that standpoint, you can understand why having legal representation is good. But the other thing is that, you know, these are lawyers, and they are likely to try and be very vigorous in defending their clients and in asserting things like asylum claims, asserting things like their ability to get a special juvenile visa. And while each of these may individually be entitled to that, and that may individually be a good thing, when you take that across a class of people, you're talking about 140,000 people, children we expect to enter, I'm sorry, to be apprehended next year on the border without their parents present, unaccompanied minors. If every single one of them were to make and win an asylum claim or make and win a special juvenile visa, you know, going forward, we're talking about adding tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of more people to our immigrant rolls. They're obviously very, very, very tough cases, but is the country really ready for those numbers? We're probably going to find out.
All right. Comments from lawmakers on this today?
None yet. It's sort of still trickling through. And one office actually was the one that pointed me to the potential conflict between the $2 million expense and the federal law that says no money can be expended. And we'll see whether they develop that. The Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, is actually scheduled to testify to the Senate Judiciary Committee, I believe on Wednesday. It's later this week. And I imagine this will be a very big issue he has to deal with. It's one that he essentially acknowledges that the border is something he needs to pay a lot more attention to. And that's a big distinction between him and Janet Napolitano, who kept telling us the border was secure.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned something, you know, a little bit of what came out of the Supreme Court today. Any other news, or was that it?
No, there are three cases that were decided in total, and two of them were one was over bankruptcy court jurisdiction, things that matter, I'm sure, immensely to the legal minds out there in terms of where they're going to sue various people and what cases go where. But the only one that sort of any import would be that immigration case, to the average listener, would be that immigration case. And the main thing out of that is that the justices said that the government has substantial leeway when the law is unclear, and in this case actually even seems to conflict, the government has leeway to come up with a construction that makes sense out of the law. It's very particular, but some people will see that as a possibility of the Supreme Court saying that there is prosecutorial discretion or a lot of leeway for the administration to determine immigration law on some of these other policies that the president's announced, some of the non-deportation policies. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far out of this court ruling and say that that's where the court was going, but some folks will. So that's something to watch out for.
Okay. And both the House and the Senate in session this week?
Yes. Yes, they're both back. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, whether we actually get anything done, you know, that's always a bigger question. But we begin to start doing appropriations bills in both chambers, which is interesting because you end up getting a lot of good floor fights since we aren't really doing a lot of amendments, in particular in the Senate, on other things. The spending bills are where you actually do get more of a freewheeling debate.
Do you think we could actually see an entire week, 5 days from both sides?
Nope. It's not going to happen. We already know that the House isn't going to be there. They come in later today, and they're here through Thursday, and they will not be in Friday, and I can't imagine the Senate will be either. No, so we are now 5.5 months into the year, and neither chamber has worked a 5-day week yet.
Wow. But they will be there for Seersucker Day, which returns on Wednesday.
Wednesday, Seersucker Day. Yes. No, I will not be participating. I want your listeners to know.
All right. Very good. I swear, if I see you in a seersucker, you're in trouble.
Oh, no. I'm in trouble even if you don't see me in a seersucker. That's, if I wear one. Oh, no. Yeah, we'll just leave it there.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Yeah. Shock. Shock and awe that they're both in town this week. However, not really a shock that they probably won't work every day. Oh, our government at work. Or not at work. Stay tuned. Robert Knight coming up next right here at 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.